Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hello, champion. Welcome back to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. It's your humble host, Sam Mirwell P. Crowley. November 13th, been a while, hasn't it? Been a while. I don't even want to look back at when the last show I did. It might be 7 days, might be 10 days ago. What happened? What happened, Sam? Where you been? I will talk about that. It is great to have you here. The month of November is halfway over. What are you doing? You getting ready for the holidays? Getting ready for all that stress, making all that food, inviting all the relatives you don't even like. I mean, all the relatives that you have. And then spending all that money that nobody's going to appreciate. I mean, celebrating Christmas and then getting drunk and eating all that food. I mean, getting into the new year. Think about it, man. Isn't it crazy? Don't you want to break that cycle? Don't you want to create new momentum for yourself? Maybe you already have great momentum. Maybe you're going into the new year thinking, damn, it ain't never been this good around my house. I never had this much money. Woo-hoo, wow. Shut the faucet off. I don't need the money flowing that much. I don't need all this success. Well, hey, I want to share with you a story today. Having a good time, by the way. If you just tuned in, it's your first time listening to the show. Oh, boy. This is actually going to be a great one to listen to for the first time. But you already in the first minute think this dude is completely lights out off his rocker. And you would be 100% correct. But it's an acquired taste. You'll get to love it. You'll learn to love it. Trust me on that one. But I want to share with you a story that I put on my Facebook page last week, and it's really heartwarming. And on a Monday where we all need a little bit of motivation to get moving and grooving, I want to share this with you. So let's rewind the clock back to May of this year. And life kind of sucked for me, and I'm going to share with you why. Things were going, I mean, look, this has to all, you know, a lot of this has to do with our daughter. Just the challenges that she has had, and being born at 1 pound a few years ago and being on a trach and a ventilator and all that stuff, I'm not going to bore you with all the details. You listen to the show, you know the story. But this new thing in the beginning part of this year, 2017, was a lot of vomiting in the middle of the night because she's fed through a G-tube, and then she gets worked up with all these secretions in her throat. And, you know, it's just, again, I'll spare you the gory details, but yours truly was not sleeping much in the spring of this year, and my wife wasn't either. We're miserable, you know. We put a good front on it, and I think that's a lesson. You know, you can be a victim, and we always look at our daughter and say, hey, we're not sleeping, but she's on a ventilator. Hey, we're not sleeping, but she has to breathe through a trach. Hey, we're not sleeping, but neither is she, you know. I mean, she's got a lot of challenges, so we never put ourselves in the prime focus. But there are situations where if you've ever been through a challenging time, don't you ask this question? Here's the ultimate victim question. Two words. Why me? We ask it of ourselves a lot, right? I mean, why me? Why now? You know, why does this have to happen to me right now? Couldn't be the worst timing. Well, you know, this was the time I was feeling that. But let me shift this. I did a Facebook Live inside our Facebook group today, and it was this question as well. Shift that, spin that around and say, what message am I supposed to take away? Like, what am I supposed to learn from this? How am I supposed to grow from this? Like, when our daughter was born, I mean, come on, man, I was 46 years old. You know, not exactly. I mean, I joke with my wife, I said, great, now I'm going to be the Frank Gifford of Ohio. You know, I'm going to be 90 with a kid. And just when we thought we were getting everybody kind of through those teenage years, whoop. Surprise! And Susan was the ultimate surprise. We love her, though. And so we were joking back then, wow, what are we supposed to learn from this? And then everything that happened, I asked that question. And I was like, God, what am I supposed to learn from having a baby with an 85% profound neurological disorder that could happen? By the way, none of it happened. A hole in her heart. What am I supposed to learn? A hole in her heart? Well, the hole in her heart closed. It just closed miraculously. And I think like it was eighth week maybe of being alive. Brain bleed stopped. I mean, all of this stuff just worked out. Just all worked out. And I'm not saying all this stuff works out for everybody. Obviously, it doesn't. But for us, it did. And I placed all my faith in God. And I just, because there's just some things we can't, as much as you want to be in control, you can't control. Like, I remember I was flying back from London a few years ago, and we were landing in JFK. And if you know anything about JFK in New York City, the overseas, the international flights to come in usually come in over the ocean, and it's really windy and breezy, and you're coming in over the ocean right along Long Island there, and then you're coming in for the descent. Well, this particular landing, the guy damn near turned the plane upside down. I mean, I thought the wing touched the ground. That's how much he had this thing over to bent to the one side. And I'm in the back of the plane, and I'm like, oh, my God, I made it all the way from London, and this is where I'm going to – this is it, the last minute of the flight we're going down. Well – I know. I've never been on a crash landing. That's probably the closest thing. We landed safely. Felt like a crash landing, but I'm sure everybody else, no big deal. I didn't see anybody like jumping around or scream or anything. But we land and we come to a stop, and I'm still sitting in my seat. I still have my seat. Everybody's off the plane. I'm sitting there with my seatbelt on, and I'm not shaking. I'm not acting too much like a kitty in a lightning storm. But I was, you know, like, what the hell just happened? So I said to the stewardess, I said, hey, that landing there, is that normal? She goes, oh, that's the co-pilot's practicing his takeoffs and landings today. Like, there's nobody. And then she went back to, you know, continuing to cleaning up the galley and stuff. I'm like, whoa. He's practicing his landings with 350 people on an airplane on a windy day? Is it even know? And she's like, well, yeah, you know. She goes, a pilot has ultimate control. I mean, she goes, let me guess. You're a CEO. You're an executive, C-level executive. I said, no, not exactly. Used to be an executive, not anymore. I've run my own company, but I'm like, why would she be asking me this question? She goes, because you're a guy that needs to be in control. And she's psychoanalyzing me from row 37 on the Delta jet. I go, what do you mean? She goes, guys like you who need to be in control can't give up control and just let someone land an airplane. And she was very nice about it, basically just calling me out. And I said, you know, that's actually... of all the theories I've heard, that's probably the best. I'm not afraid to fly, but I'm like you. You know, you hit an air bump or something like that. You're okay, everybody's the wing. I'll look out, make sure the wings are still on. Okay, we're good. But she's right. People who need to be in control, like to be in control, are used to being in control, don't like to give up that control. I thought, you know, that's a pretty good assessment. So when Susan was born, we had to give everything over to God. Say, hey, you got this, man. You're the ultimate healer. I got nothing here. I can pray. I mean, I can show up every day and talk to her, and I don't know if she's listening, but I know you're listening. So here you go, buddy. You take it from here. Right? Take the wheel. And that's what happened. So as I look back, and I never said why me, why us, it's what are we supposed to learn from this situation? And what we learned was maybe we're supposed to write a book. Done. Help other people. Done. Be an open book. Be transparent. Post online. Other people going through challenges, help them out. Done. It's just so many things that have happened in our life as a result of what we originally thought was a why us moment is thank God it was us. You know, this has been an amazing journey. So many people we've met along the way we would have never met had we not had a baby born at 1 pound and spend 221 days in a hospital and then come home on a ventilator. Just how to navigate the healthcare system in and of itself. We've helped people, you know, through that. Only people that have asked, you know, we don't go looking for stuff and offering unsolicited advice and things like that. But let me ask you a question. What are you going through? What season are you going through right now? And have you asked the question, how am I supposed to grow from this? What am I supposed to learn from this? If you ask that power question, instead of saying the two words that every victim says, why me? If you ask, how am I supposed to grow from this? You will start to see it from a completely different perspective, and you'll see ways that you're supposed to grow. I had to grow into a husband. I had to grow into a father. I already thought I was, and I wasn't even close at either. I had to grow into an online entrepreneur, like a real one, who had to be very careful and cautious of his time, you know, and still earn income. Yeah, bills still got to get paid. I minimalized this year because I felt our family and my wife was in 100% agreement. We had too much, just too much. You know, God love you. If you're somebody that has a lot of possessions, earthly possessions, that's great. As long as they don't own you and you own them. You know, it's a whole different podcast. So in May of this year, let me get back to the original part of the story. I'm at my daughter Paige's lacrosse game up in Dayton, Ohio, up around that area, probably about 45 minutes north of where I live. And my phone rings, and it was a friend of mine I haven't talked to in 7 years. Actually, prior to that, she had sent me a Facebook message and saw that she saw Susan's story. And, oh, my God, I can't believe this journey you guys have been on. And so we're going back and forth on Facebook Messenger while I'm at Paige's lacrosse game. And then she said, hey, can I call you? I said, yeah, sure. Great to talk to you. So my phone rings. It's her. And I asked a lot about, hey, so how have you been? What's going on? Well, come to find out, she moved away from the West Coast to the East Coast, met her soulmate, somebody she'd spend the rest of her life with, landed an amazing startup, and was blessed abundantly. I mean abundance in finances. And the more, I'll give you the real short version of the story, but the more we talk, she said, man, this is just, this story is just amazing. You're sharing about your daughter, Susan, and how your family, everybody, has come together to rally. I want to send you guys to Disney. I'm like, yeah, okay. This is where the part of the story stops. For me, I'm thinking, because I don't do well at all at accepting gifts. I just don't. It's not in me. I'll accept the compliment. Hey, look good. Great. Thank you. Because I believe in receiving that. Gifts and money and things like that makes me uncomfortable, because I believe that our family has been blessed way beyond anything we deserve and then some, and, you know, help a family that really could use it. I mean, some of it's been through some tough times. But then I thought, well, what my Christian mentor would tell me, I meet with him regularly, Sam, God uses people to speak to you through them, and keep your ears open, keep your eyes open, and be present to God's word and people trying to help you out or get a message to you. I'm like, yeah, okay. So that was resonating. I said, okay. I don't know how I'm going to tell my wife, because my wife's never met her. We're business acquaintances, met at a live event back in 2009, I'm thinking. Long time ago, 8 years ago. So I went home and I explained to Angela, my wife, hey, this individual I haven't seen in 7 years is sending us to Disney. They have a lot of money. They were really tugged at the heartstrings with Susan's story. And as I'm telling the story, I can't believe I'm telling the story, because I don't even believe it myself. And my wife's like, yeah, we can't accept that. I said, I know. That's what I would say normally, but we need to accept it, or else we're robbing them of a blessing. They want to bless us. And that's a big principle there. You know, people want to bless other people, and giving starts the receiving process. And if you don't allow that to happen, then you're robbing them of blessing you and you being a blessing to somebody else. And that's really what I tried to convince my wife. And then she was still uncomfortable, because coming into it, obviously she didn't know the person. And then all of a sudden we get all expenses paid, flight, hotel, Disney passes. I mean, for six people, it's a lot of money. So my wife accepted. I texted her back, the person, and I'm keeping her name anonymous for a reason. She wants to remain anonymous, which I respect. And we were good to go. And I thought, man, oh, man, that is the nicest thing. One of, I mean, I had a lot of nice things done for me, because there's a lot of nice people in the world. Once you get off Twitter and once you get off Facebook, there's a lot of nice people out there. Think about it. Does anybody ever act the way they act online in person? No, never. They're nice in person. They're not confrontational and calling you, you know, names and all that. So here we are this Thursday, November 16th. Our family flies out of Cincinnati heading to Orlando to spend 4 days at Disney. Isn't that the most amazing thing? All because of an individual I met 9 years ago at a live event, stayed in touch, then drifted apart. And then she finds us on Facebook. We weren't playing the victim role. Why us? Why me? Now, I'm not saying she still wouldn't have done those nice things had we done that, but I'm saying we showed up from a position of power. You know what I mean? Like, we wanted to know how we could grow from this situation. And I do believe, and I talk about the law of attraction on occasion, and it's been 10 years since The Secret, you know, all those people were on Oprah, and some of them have gone on to do great things still, like Bob Proctor, John Astroff. Others have been in prison, like James Ray. And, you know, you harvest the best and you throw away the rest with that stuff. But from the law of attraction perspective, I do believe in this much. Now, you can call it LOA. You can just call it common sense. I mean, this is just common sense, guys. This isn't splitting atoms here. you attract people into your life by the way you carry yourself. Would you agree with that statement? Yes, of course. So if you're going to play the victim role, what kind of individuals do you think you're going to attract into your life? You're going to attract victims into your life. They're going to play the pity party. They're going to say, oh, boy, I feel sorry for you. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. I don't want that ever. I want to be respected. I don't need to be liked, but I want people to look and say, you know, I got to respect that guy. You know, he's going through something there, and he's transparent. He's authentic about it, and he's continuing to move forward. He's got momentum, you know, and he's not allowing that to dictate his circumstances. So that's what I want. I don't want anybody's pity, because pity doesn't help at all. You know, you can pray for me. I appreciate that. I really do. But that in and of itself, without me taking action, if my deeds don't match my words, I'm done. I'm doomed. You know what I mean? So if you're going through tough times, which you are, we all are, you don't have to pretend like you're not. You can pretend like it, but then you're just going to look like a charlatan, because everybody knows we're either going into a crisis, we're in the middle of a crisis, or we're coming out of a crisis. It's really that simple. You can still be a millionaire. You can still have success, but don't try to pretend like you're not having issues, man. But here's the thing. You don't got to go out there and tell the whole public about how bad it is. How can you grow from that situation? Maybe you own real estate and you got a high vacancy rate. Okay, well, what's the lesson trying to be taught to you with that? You know, other situations that have to do with relationships, finances, business, all of that. How do you grow from that? That's the question, from a position of power, that you need to ask yourself. So I wanted to share that story with you. I think it's just absolutely amazing. I mean, you talk about gratitude. Are you serious? I mean, being able to now take, and think of it, think of the photos, the videos. My kids are all over, you know, social media with Snapchat and all this crap, Instagram. So I say crap. I realize it's marketing, but still, for teeny boppers, still kind of crap. And it's going to be a trip of a lifetime, absolute trip of a lifetime, because one person went online, saw our story, reached out, and it just, the dominoes fell from there. So allow that to encourage you. Allow that to inspire you that there are great people everywhere around you. You will attract these people into your life like a magnet based on your words and your thoughts and how you act. You will become a magnet, I promise you, to greater people out there. And don't look to just associate with people at your level. If you're the smartest person in your group, it's time to get a new group. If you're the most successful, wealthiest person in your group, it's time to get a new group. Hang around individuals who will force you to stretch and be great in every facet of your life. I'm telling you, that's the only way to grow and grow into something great. So I hope this podcast today inspired you. And watch out, coming back with more, maybe even another one today and the rest of this week. Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Everyday is Saturday.